Plot chat, Overwatch, episode 192. I think we're live. I don't remember how to do this.
Double check. Let's double check.
I don't see it.
I think we're live. Chat? 7 seconds in. What's up, chat? How's it going? Solomon is late. We don't know where Solomon is. Maybe Solomon told me.
This is on Solomon.
They couldn't produce.
I haven't heard anything.
But Solomon is not here, and so I'm producing Scuffed again.
He posted at 1:28 a.m. Eastern. Responding to an Avril message.
Oh,
so
are we live right now?
We're live.
Okay, cool.
He responded at 1:28 a.m. responding to an Avril message, and he has not said anything since. So
let's go over the votes real quick.
Fine, but you know, he's not here. So it's all
14% of people were based in real and knew it was actually Solomon.
It was.
You 14%ers out there, you know who you are. Pat yourself on the back. You got it. That's correct.
I forgot to test if desktop capture works. Yeah, it works. All right. Okay. Yeah, we're trialing live on stream.
Is that a Roblox stream?
I gotta tell you guys as well. I'm in a lot of mouth pain during this episode.
So this is gonna be a scuffed episode. How did that go, by the way?
Dude.
Yeah, do the dentures fit now?
People were like, oh, taking your wisdom teeth out. That's gonna suck for a little bit. Yeah, that's gonna suck for a little bit. And I'm like, okay. And so I was like prepped. I was like, oh, it's gonna suck a little bit. I kid you not, this past week has been fucking horrible. It's just been agony. I have woken up every single night in just pain and waited for like painkillers to kick in. I've only had soup and yogurt for a week straight. I tried to have a hot dog yesterday and I almost cried. It's so bad. I don't know if it's only me, but holy shit.
No, wisdom teeth.
This has been a fucking week and I'm like at the bottom of my... mental
all of them.
Four.
You got all of them.
You got all four at the same time. Oh yeah, I mean, I did all four of mine at the same time too. But I was like six. I was like 15 when I did. So
that's rough.
You had like superpowers. Like yeah.
How did you even get wisdom teeth at 15?
What?
That's crazy. But
they grow in. They grow
mine,
in.
Dude, mine didn't grow in until I was in my 20s.
Well, you're just less wise. I don't know.
I've never had a
wisdom teeth. I'm 28.
Like, I'm wise.
Avril, do you have yours removed?
I have one left. I only had three. So for some reason, I didn't get four. I had three. Two of them grew out quickly, and the third one only just grew out recently.
I think I only had to get one out, and I was like, hey, fuck it. Let's do all four, because I don't want to do this shit again.
Well, yeah, because like, did your dentist say like, oh, they might grow in later or something? Like, because like,
yeah, that was why I got the one. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure I sent you the one that looked like horrible. Yeah, so I had to get that.
Yeah,
one
because
out.
Like you definitely just want to do, especially if you've had like braces or something, you just want to get them out because they'll fuck up your teeth when they grow in.
Yeah.
So like, it's like that's why I got all mine out when they were young. Like my parents were like, "We just spent all this money on your fucking braces. You're getting this shit ripped out, or else because we're not letting this fuck up the braces."
Yeah.
So I'm worried now because if you've only just had yours come in, I thought it was like a mid-20s thing. I googled it. I was like, oh, like,
so
what is the age bracket?
Get an x-ray. Check it out. Depends. It's different for everyone, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Some people, they have no problems their whole life.
Part of it as well, I'm like paranoid. Problems. The American doctors are like, we want to farm this guy for money. And we want to farm him. We want to get surgery. We're going to take lots of imaging. It's going to be great. And you're going
to
pay.
I mean, to be fair, that's all dental
card.
Work. Like, I mean, I don't think it's very different anywhere, right? Because isn't dental work most countries kind of expensive? You have universal
healthcare. Yeah, I got my ass kicked.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what Sweden is like, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Because I know in lots of Europe and like Canada and stuff, it's not covered on plans still.
Yeah.
So all right. You have to like pay for it.
All right. I don't want to talk about wisdom teeth for too long, but I'm just saying, guys, if in the middle of the off season, I need your guys' friendship, okay? I need you guys to help me out. If I get addicted to taking this shit, these painkillers and shit, I need you guys to like confront me and be like, Johnny, you
can't
have more painkillers.
Did they give you like strong ones? Like not just like over-the-counter ones?
I thought they gave me Oxy, but it didn't give me Oxy. They gave me like the mildest version of whatever.
I was about to say, because like they generally don't give you like insane painkillers. Like when I got it, they just gave me like the, you know, they have like the prescription strength Tylenol / like Advil and stuff. Like the one where it's like the normal dose is like 400 milligrams or whatever. The one they gave me was like 800 milligrams.
Yeah.
For a thing. Like, that's essentially what they gave me when I did it. It was like, they just like, here, take this fucking extra large horse pill of like over the counter medicine that is prescription pretty much.
So you didn't get morphine? Normally.
No, did not get morphine. I specifically asked for morphine, but they didn't.
Damn, dude.
I just gotta tell you,
that was
though,
your chance.
I got the mildest, I got the mildest opioid available, and I took one of those, and I was fucking. I was out. Like, I was having a great day. Like, I
see, now you can understand the appeal for drugs, right?
Dude, it completely shifted my understanding of the opioid crisis and how it works. Because holy shit, those things are not that you don't fuck around with those. That's crazy. They fuck you up, indeed. Yeah. So if I get in trouble, guys, at Toronto or something, if I'm like, oh, I gotta buy Tylenol or something, you guys are like, no, Johnny, we're not letting you buy Tylenol. Like, no.
I gotta buy Tylenol. I don't think. Street.
I mean, Tylenol's probably fine.
All right.
I mean, are you gonna be putting out like drug like painkiller addled tweets? You know, where it's like they're like, no, he has an addiction. Like, please, like it's just him. He's on the oxy again. He's on the oxy. From
walking around with like, hi, my name is Jonathan. I'm something. No, I don't know.
I'm an oxy addict after getting my teeth out.
Yeah, anyway. We'd rather talk about wisdom teeth than Avril and Joss, who spent 20 minutes before the show talking about UFOs and historic pain.
It's our only chance before the discussion. I missed that talk.
There was some spicy stuff dropped. I don't want to get into it, guys, but you guys got it under control. You need to start a podcast. You need to start a podcast, Joss and Avril.
Yeah. Maybe you call it chat plat.
Can we talk about one more thing? You know what? We're going to talk about it because it's too big to not talk about. This is no longer Plat Chat Overwatch. We are now Plat Chat Valorant. Let's get into it. Who's ready?
Yeah. Okay,
that's not even the first topic. That's not even the first topic on the Run of Show.
Really?
No. Run of Show.
Yeah, there's one thing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, we have something important to do. We got important stuff.
That's true. Johnny needs more bullets. Let's go. Let's do it.
More bullets. Manscaped, please.
Use code PlatChat for 20% off. You can get the Platinum Package 4.0. I mean, we talk about this every week. Manscaped support the podcast. We're deeply grateful for their support. Amazing product. We're happy to support this brand. And I'd like to believe that our target audience needs Manscaped. I'd like to believe our target audience needs Manscaped because their products are the go that, yeah. So Platinum Package 4.0. I'm not, my mouth hurts so much. I'm sorry, Manscaped.
It's fine. Listen, I'll get you from here.
20% off, free shipping.
I'll take it from here. Everyone needs this. Everyone's the target audience unless you have alopecia or you're Bad Bunny and you're trying to, you know, then you know, you're letting it grow. Sorry, that's for you pop culture heads out there. That's for you pop culture heads out there. Just that one.
You're doing great, Tavas. You're doing great.
Well, keep going. And then also, the quality's too low for me to read what the current text says on my screen. But I know the Platinum Package is, it's currently off. It's how, what's the percentage? It's too low quality for me, but it's a lot. It's nearly, it's 42%. A large percentage off.
And it's
42% off.
It stacks with the PlatChat code.
If you use code PlatChat, right? Code PlatChat.
42%.
You can get the Lawnmower 4.0. You could get the Crop Reviver. You can get the body wash. You know, you can get a whole package, not just for your package, but also for yourself. You know, you just, it's a general body care. So Manscaped, once again, they're coming in clutch as they always do. So thank you Manscaped for
by the way,
to be a proud sponsor of us.
42% is about the same number of people who thought you were late, Connor.
That's true. 42% also thought. And think that's a relatively high percent. And that you were wrong. You'd be really wrong to be part of that 42%. But you wouldn't be wrong to be using this 42% to save on the Platinum Package 4.0 while also stacking that with a PlatChat code PlatChat for another 20% off.
Oh,
think
thank
about
you
that. 42% people.
That was glorious. Thank you, Avast, so much. You did a great job. There we go. Thank you, Manscaped. Appreciate your support. Anyway, this is what you wanted to talk about, right? This right here. Sorry, take some time. There you go. Bam!
I thought we were doing Avril's thing first.
Wait, what's the hot take?
Stick to the script. I just read it, bro.
Oh my
god. Why is that a topic for this week?
I tried to find the tweet. And for some reason, Avril's tweet showed me from like May.
Oh,
is it
yeah.
The one that he linked in chat? Is it this one? Is it the monetization one in chat?
In chat?
It's the one that Solomon responded to before he quit the podcast and said, I'm done with you.
Solomon did actually respond. Yeah.
He said
and
to
then
he
was
to
never
one,
seen
and
again
and
after
quit.
That.
He hated Avril's take so much, he says, I'm not going to work with him anymore.
There you go.
Between $7.49.
Dude,
Congrats.
we even have the screenshot of the value of the tweet. What is this plugin? I don't even know what
it's
this plugin,
plugin
is.
It's some plugin that it might not even be accurate. This is somebody else who has a plugin sent me this, so it's not even from me. I just thought it was funny. I just thought it was really
funny.
As
someone that is currently as a professional level working with the Twitter monetization, I can tell you that this does not seem like it possibly could be right, because the monetization, so just to give you an anecdote, Mayhem, we got like triple the impressions of like what the Mutineers account, aka what is now the Miami Heretics account with our Heretics partnership. We got paid for like a month-ish, it was like $26. Mutineers didn't posted a single time in 1 month, got like a third of our impressions, got paid 50.
What?
Yeah. I'm telling you, whatever people are thinking, whatever people are trying to like estimate from Twitter monetization, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. I think Elon essentially just picked people. So he picked Somju, because he hates Mercy as well. So Elon picked Somju and is like, I'm just going to give you a lot of money. Like, I'm just going to give you a lot of money and make it look like the partnership program is real. Because, and then I'm going to tell people, like, because it's a giant Ponzi scheme. He's like, if you pay $8 and you just earn the minimum amount of impressions, 5 million per month, you'll pay for your blue and get the perks of blue. So he's essentially saying, pay me money, you'll earn money to pay for the subscription. And so it's just a pyramid scheme all the way down. It's Bernie Madoff. Like, this, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Like, this doesn't make any sense. The monetization doesn't make any sense. I don't trust this plugin. That's a separate rant. This is a separate rant about monetization for Twitter and how that website is broken.
That's cool.
Now we can go into
anyway
this.
Talking about monetization. People are upset about monetization changes. I like this. This is was this sparked from our episode the other week?
No. I look, every now and then I wait a couple months and I talk about monetization on Twitter again, and I always get insane impressions every single time.
That's fair.
Smart. In I think late October to November I'm gonna do this again.
Okay.
That's nice. We'll write it down.
Yeah.
That's,
you can schedule the tweet now.
You don't want to do it monthly. You don't want to do it monthly because then like people start catching on. It's like, why is he talking about this again? It's not even 1 month, but I think by like two months, people kind of forget and they come back. Now this was just Yiska. Yiska, he baited me in Yiska's response to Kaku, and Kaku's original tweet was, what is like, you know that meme with the dude in the Disney movie and all the knives around him?
It's
like,
from Tangled,
what's the take, Overwatch 2 take that will get this response from people? And so Yiska's response to that was this in the quote. And then I responded to Yiska, so we're like three quote retweets deep. Yeah. And I'm just, you know, I'm just chilling. But at this point,
summed it up super well.
I'm personally just sick of talking. I know people are sick of me talking about it, and I'm sick of talking about it. I say people are sick of me talking about it, but I get insane impressions every time. So are they?
People
I don't
want
know.
To talk about it. That's all they want to talk about. They just want to bitch about it, you know?
But I've said the same thing like a year now. I feel like I've been saying the exact same thing for a full year. So that's six tweets. Because again, one every 2 months is how long I've been saying it.
I gotta give credit to Yiska here as well for pretty much saying exactly what you said, but in less
with
words,
less impressions.
With less impressions, yeah.
Less words, less impressions.
Social media, baby.
use all your words, people. Use all the words.
This is completely off topic again, but something happened over the weekend. There was like a news event, and then someone like reacted to the news event with one tweet, and it popped off. And in the For You tab, I swear to God, I got the same response from three different creators on Twitter that just like copy-pasted the response and got even more impressions. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's all about finding the best like response and then just copying it and trying to market it, trying to make it pop.
And then have Twitter blue and then monetize off the tweet.
New record this time as well.
You get paid like $5 maybe.
Easy. Easiest $5 of my life.
I only had to block two people this time as well. That's a record low for me. Talking about this topic.
So, well,
you can't block them anymore, right? You can't.
How
block
many people have you?
No, you can.
No,
right now.
He hasn't stopped that yet. It's still. Currently,
oh, really? Oh,
it's just
you can't legally
right
stop
now.
That, by the way, because the app stores.
Yeah, I did
it.
Read that actually. Quite funny.
Well, technically, really? Isn't there like the legal loophole where like the platform is supposed to be able to stop disruptive people, but there's no guarantee the users can. Not the whole loophole for that.
It was
supposedly.
Something in Apple's and. Johnny, it was something in Apple's,
it's like a TOS.
Apple's App Store and the Google Play Store's TOS that says if you have a social media app, you have to have the ability to block people or like remove them from your viewing, basically. Otherwise, you can't be on the App Store. And everybody was like, wait, wait, you can't remove blogs because it's against TOS of the fucking App Store. So do you want your shit delisted or nah? But maybe there probably is some crazy loophole, but yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so pretty much you can't block anyone yet. How many people have you blocked total for monetization? you think?
So far? I can't remember. I think I'd have to check my entire block list, right. But then I don't even know how. I can't remember why something got blocked.
Wait, for monetization tweet?
No,
like,
just
as in like him tweeting people about Overwatch 2 monetization.
Oh,
yeah, and then people blocking him.
And then people being like, Avril, you should die for liking this model, and I will kill you in real life. Like, that's because that's like the level of discourse that surrounds the Overwatch 2 in general, but also Overwatch 2 monetization is like, if you say, and to be fair, there's like, and it's not to distract from real criticisms of it and like things being potentially overpriced and stuff like that. And like,
I just want people to be objective.
It's just, if you say anything remotely positive, people literally like, I will kill you in real life, and I will also make sure that your name is forgotten by history. And I will salt the earth like Carthage.
It's not even positive. I'm not even out here like, oh, I love this. This is so good. Please marry me, Bobby. Like, I don't even, it's just a reasonable, moderate, center of the road kind of position. It's like, it's almost apathy.
You can't
like,
do that.
Like,
you can't do that anymore because you either have to be on one side extreme or the other side extreme. Otherwise, no impressions for you.
I just want people
even
to be
if
objective.
You have a middle of the road take, people will force your take to one side or the other. So, I mean, that's just how social media works right now. So there you go.
Jaws be like, I just want a grill.
I just
want a grill.
I just want people to remember. I just want people to remember that Destiny 2 is at 81% all time positive on Steam. That game literally deletes content that you've paid for, past DLCs that I've paid for too. I actually can't play. This is real playable content, not skins or like.
And our shit is just cosmetics, like that you don't
like
need.
Actual content that
you
I paid
could actually
money
argue
for.
That they deleted one tank. So they've deleted.
Okay, you can still play every tank. You can still play every single tank.
Additionally, they deleted the content they never gave us, so we never played it at all. Which was
true. Yeah, they deleted
the content
that we never experienced, but we were told we were gonna get. So think about that, huh? Think about the hypothetical content they stole from us.
Oh, the hypothetical content, as opposed to the actual hundreds of dollars worth of expansions I paid for.
Which, to be fair, I actually think is a fair point for people to be like, I did not interested in the game because I was interested in this aspect. Which is fair. The weird part is then hate posting about it for the next 3 years of your life. That's the weird part. Like, if no one wants to experience the game because they're like, they took away something I like, so I'm just not going to play anymore. I'm like, that is completely fair. I'm like, in fact, you're even allowed a couple mean tweets. I think you're allowed a quota being like, fuck you guys for doing this. I want to play this. I think that's even fair. But if you just talk about it for the next 3 years, it is time to get a job. It is time to get... touch grass. It is time to experience oxygen and the oxygenation of your cells and aging. And it's like you need to do a lot of different things. Like, you need to like go do something. Like, you need to go do something if you've only been tweeting about Overwatch 2 monetization and it being bad for the past like 3 years of your life. Like, I legitimately, and that goes for any game. Because like speaking of Destiny 2, Destiny has like also the most hated game on Twitter as well. I think Destiny 2 and Overwatch are probably the two most hated games on Twitter. Despite being like wildly popular still.
81% positive on Steam, by the way. 81% positive.
Which is a crazy high number considering how they do their monetization with expansions and like how convoluted it is to like buy the latest expansion in different packs. And it's so fucked.
I'm not trying to shit on them specifically. I'm just giving examples. I could name like five other games. Maybe not as egregious, but the point is like there's some pretty bad egregious practices out there, but people love to just tunnel vision on Blizzard, which says to me you just hate Blizzard, and that's fine. You're allowed to hate Blizzard, but just be honest. Be honest. Your take isn't that you hate the monetization. Your take is you don't like Blizzard, and that's a fair take to have. Just be accurate about what the take is, really.
Okay, here we go.
There you
we banged
go.
Out the checklist
take.
For the weekly episode.
There's the hot take.
We banged out the checklist. We have one. We have complained about people who complain about Overwatch and the Overwatch League.
Yes.
Two, we have propped up Avril's ego and complimented one of his takes and made him make him look super smart. Later in the episode, guys, stay tuned. We'll find a way for Jaws to hate why Contenders is getting massive viewership for the Mercy skin. So, we'll get to that later. We need to get some Mercy hate going for this episode, too. Stay tuned, everyone.
That's the show notes.
It's coming.
I don't know who put this in the show notes. I wasn't even planning on talking about any of this. I was just like,
I mean, but
it's just the way, like, the show tilts. It's like a boat. Like, it just
but
tilts
also we have
that
to,
way.
It's good business. It's good business. If we don't include an Avril take, we can't farm people that are going to be mad. Like, the thing is, at the end of the day, like, that's just business, baby. Like, the game was rigged from the start. Fallout New Vegas.png. Like, this is all, like, You guys, when you're getting mad at Admiral, guess what? That's ad revenue coming to us, baby. That's all ad revenue.
what's everyone's niche on like rage baiting here? Because mine's monetization. Jaws is mercy mains. What do you two have? Like, where's your
mine's
specific
food
angle?
Takes. Mine's fighting animals and food takes. Are the two okay. for me.
Yeah. So cannibalism
the fighting animals
is your position.
One has been very divisive.
Fighting animals has been extremely lucrative because it spawned a whole sub-genre of React content where people reacted to my list of fighting the animals. And so I think that one it generated a lot more talking than I expected. Because I don't really have a lot of like Overwatch. At this point, I don't really... I'm at the point of my life, essentially, where... getting into hyperbolic discussions around video games to me is like, it's like, you know, Dumbledore, where you guys know Dumbledore, right? So, you know, there's that one thing where he's trying to get that one Horcrux and he's having to drink like the potion. And then he's like, Harry has to force him to drink it. And he's going to be like, Harry, whatever you do, I'm going to say, make me to stop, but like I have to keep drinking to get this. And so it's him like, oh, drinking. That's me engaging in like online video game discourse essentially in a lot of times, because like it's just inane. It's also bizarre. Like Avril will be like, hey guys, I think the monetization has a mixed bag. Someone will be like, Avril, I will kill you. And then like then there's like game journalists that are like, because I know a couple game journalists, like, casually, that are, like, covering, like, games and stuff. And people will be like, hey, like, here's our review. Or, like, here's, we're delaying our review for this reason. And there's this, it's like they're a fucking witch in the 14th century. Like, there's, like, peasants and villagers filling the comments of the socials with torches and pitchforks, being like, you're a hack. You're a fraud. I wish your genetic code was deleted from existence. And like, I'm like, bro, they're just writing an article about video games. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's just like, I've seen so much that I'm just like, I can't even take it serious because it's so over the top. Like, it's like, it's so, you, like, you
it
guys
almost
are
comes across
ridiculous.
As satirical.
You guys like are ridiculous. Like, you comments. Guys, like, the discourse surrounding it is insanity. And it's the same with, like, esports, too, where, like, I think esports, I have more of a patience to debate weird stuff, like, we'll talk about the next topic in relation to, like, the guard, right? But, like, a lot of that is because of ignorance of, like, a lot of the issues around that. Like, people don't have the ins and outs and stuff. But, like, video game discourse is, like, just, like, you, if you have the wrong opinion, like, you are lesser. You are, like, it's just weird. It's, like, it's, or, like, opinion, I don't, it's just strange. It's a strange discourse, and, like, I've just lost the ability. I'm Dumbledore at the end of the cup, just, like, gurgling, like, ugh,
oh. By the way,
no, Harry, please, and like that. I can't read another tweet from Video Game Lover 24 talking about how this you're so stupid about not liking this DLC. Like, I just can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I just want to play games. I just want to grill. I just want to play games.
Just
want to
grill.
You know, like
that's what I'm saying, man.
That's it.
Just grill.
Like, I just can't do it anymore.
What specifically do you want to grill?
I think I would. I think I would like to. What are you saying? I think I would like to grill a nice
human
steak.
Meat.
I would like this, a nice Wagyu if I had the money steak, to do right, so, and right, then maybe right. maybe a tuna steak as well. Tuna steak is very good.
What other animals would you eat? Anyway.
What species anyways. Would you eat? What species?
Species would you eat? I would eat whatever is ethically sourced.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there it is. There
do,
it is.
Do you like how Uber called it out on broadcast this weekend? That was an insane
that was very
I, dude,
fun.
I don't want to advertise another problem, but essentially, let me just say that this line of conversation has like semi-ruined, like it follows me everywhere, and I can't escape it. So it's like it has drastically altered the trajectory of my life. It's like the one like post where it's like, "What you doing if you see us at the function?" And then someone responds like, "I'm killing myself in front of you to drastically alter the trajectory of your lives." Like that is that. That discourse is me right now. It's like that is that the cannibal discourse has reached
and
the
that
point.
All happened at Johnny's wedding at yep. the end of the table, and then cannibalism topic came up, and well, it was all over.
No, I think
there.
Well, I was it. I guess actually wait. It was Johnny's wedding that it probably was, started. Yeah. That I thought of it while I was at
it's
the
a
wedding.
Catalyst event.
We were sitting down, and I asked the people at the table, including Jaws and such, and Matt Morello and such, And then
were any non-Overwatch people there?
Yes.
Oh, there was, yeah,
there,
yeah,
was,
yeah,
there, was there was not Overwatch people there. There was like, well, to be fair, they were still video game related because one of them was an ex G4 producer.
Like, did you just drop cannibalism on some of our wedding guests?
Well, no, yeah, what I asked was to everyone at the table, so it was like Matt, Custa Jaws, my girlfriend, and these two people that were at the wedding that I met, one of them, and it was like a G4 producer, an ex-G4 producer, and I think his wife or his girlfriend.
And Danny was there as well.
Oh, yeah, Danny. Yeah. Danny was also there. And obviously, like, Sab was there with Custa, and Chelsea was there with Matt. And I just prompted, asked the question, would you guys eat human meat? It was ethically sourced.
Out of the blue question.
There was nothing prompting the conversation that direction. Oh. I can't even remember what we were talking about beforehand. We were just sitting there at your wedding. Like,
I need to find out who these two people are and apologize. You brought up cannibalism.
They were on my side. That's the crazy part, too.
To be fair, they were very down for the conversation.
They were like, I would try it. Yeah. Like, they both were. They were into it. They were like,
there were a few of us at the table that said yes.
Because the thing is, people blown out of proportion, okay? The cannibal discourse is also...
Okay, we're not talking about this. We're not talking about this. Holy fucking shit. Oh my god.
Can I take a guess at what Johnny's niche for rage baiting is? As we can
Johnny's
just...
Johnny's niche for rage baiting is also... Rage baiting. It's like when you post a take and everyone hates your take.
Yeah, you bait people, but rage bait.
I think it would be also Overwatch 2 related, like, but it's like, it would be the threats of you being a shill. Like, when you post something mildly... Like, I love the maps. Everyone's like, fuck you, Johnny. How dare you?
I am a shill. Who would have thought?
That's his rage bait, I think. Yeah. I think that's his
just
rage bait.
Being
bait
a shill.
Oh, yeah. But instead of Avril, where people are like, oh, Avril, so smart, very rational take, people are just like, oh, Johnny's take paid for this. He's not actually smart. He's just getting paid to write this. So, yeah, that's the difference.
Can you imagine? I wish I was getting paid. If I was getting paid to write these, I'd be tweeting non-fucking stop.
Well, you technically
It says in the plugin you made $7.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I don't think you can cash. What's the threshold for cashing out?
You have
I'm
to
not even
like,
on blue.
I think it's like 50. Like Twitch.
Oh, shit. I got to make more tweets then.
Actually, no, it's not because Mayhem got paid 26, so I don't think it matters.
I mean, people have been doing this over the last few weeks. There's a reason why hella people are just baiting or like comment or like interaction baiting and shit like that. It's because you get fucking paid now.
All right. We got to get the show on the road because both me and Avast have hard outs and we spent 30 minutes not talking about anything.
All right. We talked about stuff.
This is going to be the entire off-season, by the way. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but if you're worried about the LA Gladiators maybe dropping out of the Overwatch League, maybe not a great sign that they don't want to participate in VCT, Valorant Esports. And I mean, this is the genius of PlatChat right here. We have two PlatChat podcasts talking about Valorant simultaneously because PlatChat Valorant is live right now talking about this as well. But after several months and rounds of communication with the Guard, the organization has failed to meet the deadline to agree to the team participation agreement for VCT Americas. As a result, the Guard will not be participating in the 2024 VCT Americas League. No team will be promoted to the VCT Americas, and the league will field 10 teams for the upcoming season. So, I do not want this conversation to just go about Riot's decision and what this means for VCT and what this means for Valorant, but more so about the LA Gladiators and, like, you know, they are essentially the same team. So it does not bode well for the LA Gladiators.
So the Guard are Chengdu Hunters?
No. The Guard are not Chengdu Hunters because Chengdu just packed it up. They didn't even attempt to like honor any contracts or anything. They're like, we're done. You know, like they just left.
Yeah.
Like Chengdu was like, nah, we're out. Like also it was before the season started. So technically they had no contracts other than like staff that they had to honor. But like, obviously you don't have to honor that because it's bendable. What you do need to honor is like staff contracts per se. Like, or player contracts. So it's not quite the same. I think the weird part is that they also own, besides just this, they also technically own a CDL slot too with the Los Angeles Gorillas. And I was talking to, and as far as I'm aware, there's been no movement on that front either in terms of like them indicating that they're gone, you know? So like,
because CDL
very
starts
much up in the
this
air.
Fall, right? They start like in November
CDL,
or something?
CDL, it's soon, I don't know if it's been officially announced when they start, but like,
yeah,
it's
I don't know either, but last season they started like...
Yeah, it's early, like it's typically
it's not
they start
after the game
they,
drops,
they,
no?
They typically
you have to
start
wait for
in
the
fall. Yeah, they generally do it after the game drops, but it's like typically in the fall, though. So like it's anywhere between like the December to January type of like beat, typically. So like it's very up in the air, because also after that announcement came out, more guard staff got like left, but like there was like, but nothing's been said about like on the Overwatch side or like any movement on there. So like, it's still very much up in the air, because it's also different, because this is like partnership stuff, right? This is something where like, this is teams coming to an agreement, like work together, but you're not like exchanging cash, while technically for like Overwatch League and CDL, there's cash exchange. There's like a different level of legality attached to that, and like the buy-ins, etc. So like, still very much like an up in the air situation of like, where does that leave their other squads? Because like, it's very obvious that the guard is done Valorant per se, but there's been no indications yet of like what their movement plans are in relation to CDL or Overwatch.
Yeah. So along with that, it's been a bit weird, because we had this preconceived notion that the guard were done, so that the gladiators were surely done, but then they randomly got that sponsor. I don't know if it extended to their COD team as well.
It went to I'm pretty sure it went to like all of their brands, I imagine. It went to like, because they post on Overwatch and on Guard.
Okay, interesting. Because if they're going under, is that kind of a last hurrah in a way? And like, okay, we're going to scrape a little bit of money back through this sponsorship? Because to me, I don't know of I don't know what brands are like when a team is seemingly going under and like actually just going to close their doors. Would a brand want to approach and be like, hey, we'll sponsor you for the end of your lifetime? You know what I mean?
Well, the it's also very likely that a very traditional brand might not even know that at all.
Yeah.
Like, there's very, like, because it's not like an org if they're selling it. Like, if, for example, like if a partnerships team or a sales team, they're not going to be like, hey, guys, by the way, we're looking to get you as a sponsor. And also, we're going to close our doors in 3 months. Like, everyone's just going to like sell typically, like, depending on what, like, they're going to keep trying to operate. There's really no indication of what that means, other than the fact that they probably still have partnerships / salespeople at the org.
It definitely just came across as a bit weird, like completely out of left field, where it's like, wait, is this team like continuing then? I mean, maybe that company just doesn't really know the situation. But then if you are going to sponsor a team, the level of research maybe didn't go as deep. I don't know. For me, it was
Like disclose typically, like if you like sell a sponsor, depends on the sponsorship, right? But like, for example, like you typically sign year-long deals for partners is typically how most.
So I did look at Liquipedia actually at the Ascension thing, and it said 2024, 2025. So I wonder if this was a 2-year thing, and because it's a 2-year partnership, they couldn't commit to 2 years.
I don't think they can even commit to 1 year.
Well, are you talking about like the guard? Are you saying the guard couldn't commit 2 years because the partnership? But the thing is, they would have known that going into that, because
no,
because everyone knew how it's worked.
Because I'm saying they don't know if they have funding for 2 years. Like, they don't know if they'll exist for 2 years.
Well, but the thing is,
this is what
really it
said. It said 2025.
Yes, but
so maybe
really
the guard
matter,
was like, we can't commit to 2025. We can't agree to this deal because
they
our
knew
owner
that
might pull money.
But they knew that. They already knew that regardless. Like, it doesn't matter.
That was public information before.
Yeah, but you're not gonna drop... You know, I don't know. I don't think that matters.
No, it does matter, because you can't agree to a deal when like the deal is, here's the deal, and you're like, actually, we can only go 1 year, and it's like, okay, well, the deal doesn't work.
Saying you can compete in Ascension without intending to pay in VCT.
Ascend? I just don't think that's going to be... Yeah, well, it'll be Challengers. Ascension is the tournament that you earn from Challengers.
Yeah.
So like, Ascension is like it's the one tournament series.
Yeah,
they could compete in
Challengers
still, but that's possible. But like... It's unlikely, because like, why would you? Essentially, there's no value to that, because you're essentially gonna pay.
No, it's stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. That doesn't.
But
make any sense.
I feel like the guard is just maintaining for now until the eventual demise of the guard and the gladiators.
Literally retaining.
I'm pretty sure did Kroenke Esports Ventures not say that they were exiting esports entirely at the end of this year? They were gonna pull out of
the
CBL,
rumor.
Out of
essentially,
League.
The report that came out a while ago was that they're looking to sell all their spots. Watching a CDL.
If they can't, and if they can't sell, they'll just exit.
And if they can't, they're just going to shutter the doors.
Exactly.
So, like, a year doesn't matter. Now, there could still be people, like, working inside, like, Brenda the GM and, like, some other people that they left that, like, are attempting to find ways to make the budget work, right? Let's say, for example, Kroenke are like, this is all we're going to give you. And, like, that means, essentially, it's impossible for... That includes Overwatch League and CDL, correct? And it's like... But if they could make a miracle work, like if they could produce, like if they could do some sort of like early 2000s feel good movie where like we're gonna produce like we're gonna do like a million car washes and here's $10 million to keep the org running or something, you know, like it's like okay, like you guys can keep going. Like there is a chance theoretically that the current staff of the Guard are still trying to find situations and thus Overwatch League and Gladiators yell to make it work, right? Like they could still be like, we have like a very shoestring budget, and if we make some moves, maybe we could like persuade our corporate overlords to let us keep going.
CDL seems profitable. They got a lot of sponsors going on that product. I don't know the viewership currently is. Seems fine.
I would say that's on an org by org level. I'm not going to necessarily talk about them.
The CDL players are just paid. Some of them are just paid gigabank.
Well, that's changing a lot this year. This is finally the year. This is how I know that esports is in like finally hit its like lack. It's finally the money started to bottom out because to me the barometer was the CDL barometer.
Okay.
As long as Call of Duty players got paid unreasonable amounts of money compared to their value, that was how you know we're so Barack. This is the mm-hmm. we're so Barack meter, and this is the it's so Jover meter. So okay. We've started to tilt to the Jover side because finally this is the year that CDL teams have stopped spending uber amounts of money. There's still going to be a couple, but pretty much across the board, they've started reducing their salary costs. So like that's how you know the money has got, the money is not in the room with us anymore. The money is not in the room with us anymore.
To be fair, so an extremely small amount of the CDL players were worth the money because Scump has millions of followers and he's a gigantic brand. But
yes,
if you're not
Scump, like,
then you're probably
not
worth the money.
Like even this past year of CDL, where like the viewership, it's not like the viewership was necessarily bad, right? They were on Twitch, they had good viewership. Like also like for 36-year-old business guys that used to play COD when they were in high school, when an org came to them, like, yo, we're the Los Angeles Gorillas and we shoot people on stage on the Xbox. He's like, whoa! And then he fucking like, oh, I'll give you guys $1 million. That's so cool. Like, and then you try to do the inverse and do Overwatch. It's like, okay, so here's a diverse cast of heroes that have a various, you know, various amounts of representation with their nationalities and you know, LGBT identities. And then also they have these abilities and they do this and they play this mode. And he's like, whoa, that's some fucking dork shit. Get this shit out of here, dude.
Overwatch
where
is dorky,
God?
Yeah.
Oh my, dude, a search and destroy. Fuck yeah! Like, so it was way easier to sell COD, you know, essentially in North America. Also, it had a larger North American fan base, but
I'm just saying, like, some of the CDL players were worth the money. A lot of them are not.
No,
esports
no, it
generally
was
is correcting on pace. So
it was obscene. It was like, like, it was not uncommon for multiple teams in CDL last year to have players still making like 200,000 to 300,000 a year, like, which is like that is an obscene amount of money for any esport title, you know. So like, and this is finally the year where I've told that it's like slowly, it's kind of draining out. Like,
Meanwhile, Valorant salaries.
Which they're also correcting going into next year. That's Valorant is correcting as well. So like, and they're getting paid like an actual stipend from Riot. So like, you know, the money, the we're so Barack meter is, it's a drift, it's going. But that's necessarily a bad thing, right? Because like, maybe it's not so much that, maybe we shouldn't describe esports of like how much players get paid, but rather how sustainable it is. So like players get paid a reasonable amount of money. They have a stable career. Everyone gets paid like a reasonable salary versus like we have people making $1 cajillion a year. You know, like that's probably a better model versus like, holy shit, this 20-year-old that has never even ridden, hasn't been in school for 2 years, barely knows the alphabet and can't do basic arithmetic. But he's really good at shooting people on the screen is making $1 million. It's like, okay, well maybe it's like, and also we get a total of 100,000 viewers on Twitch. And also our team content gets like 500 viewers per YouTube video. It's like, well, I would say that there is some macroeconomic issues with that statement. So I think it's like fine to be for them to like, you know, equalize across the board. Stuff to like kind of even out a bit. Like it would be almost more healthy to say like everyone should make, players in particular should make less money, but it also means we're spending way less and we can like find more. So.
Can I confirm that, Johnny, we are not going to talk about the Riot side of this tension situation?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that pretty much it? There's nothing else to really talk about.
Go watch Plat Chat Valorant. They'll be talking about that extensively and all the drama going on in Valorant. We're going to talk about... Joss?
Vegas.
No, I was going to say, Adam Apicella had like a good tweet thread and some good like responses to
I'm
that.
Looking at it right now.
Was it about related to their champ ceremony?
I'm sure they were great.
But it was just talking about the situation, basically.
Okay.
I'm sure it was great. We're going to talk about Illaori.
I actually heard
that there's two different pronunciations where like
it's not a silent L. Can I get out of the way first?
Blizzard sent us pronunciation guides, and there was two pronunciation guides, the native way of speaking it and then the American way of speaking it. Every character in the game, apart from Ilari, Echo, and one of the characters says it in the native way because they can, but everybody else says Ilari.
Because I was confused at first.
Ilari to most people.
Yeah, because there's a hard L. Because I thought it was a Spanish name, and then people said, oh, no, they're a native Peruvian, so it's pronounced differently.
Yeah, okay. so it's pronounced differently, but like, to a non-native speaker, especially on broadcast, because I was talking about this with Jake, actually, before we went on. It's just like, to a non-native speaker, it's a little bit more difficult to say the native way and like on a broadcast in play-by-play as well, mind you. Like it, it's
especially for
and
the Americans.
Ilari is fine. Like all the devs as well, they'd say a mixture between the two, Ilari and the native way. So you know,
my barometer meter is. I just copy the way that Reinhardt pronounces names in game. If Reinhardt pronounces a name one way in game, that's the way I say it as well.
I only trust how Johnny says Torbjorn, and I think everyone else has got it wrong. So whatever Johnny says for Torbjorn is correct.
Yeah, wouldn't it make more sense to copy Torbjorn's because isn't like Ryan German, not Swedish?
He is German.
Yeah, Ryan is German. Okay. Yeah.
Also, it doesn't remind me of the
Torbjorn has
an
accent
in game.
So
that shit was so funny. It's exactly the same situation. The Brig thing, Brigitte, Brig.
Dude, people still call her
like,
Bridget, okay? So
yeah, Bridget, oh yeah, like God. She's all over the place. Situation all over again, you know? It's like, oh, she has mini Ryan shield, you know? Like, yeah.
Even with Kiriko, there are some people who are like, oh, no, it's not Kiriko, it's Kiriko or like something like that. I'm just like, can we not? Why
you have to say it with
this?
A smile. You have to be happy when you say it. The problem is, I'm not a happy person.
What are we
so
doing?
That's
no one is
thing.
Happy.
That's
we're true. Playing video Come games. We're not no one's happy.
They're words. We're using them to communicate. And there's an understanding what the word means. So why are we bothering with pronunciation? All right. Anyway, we didn't see a ton of Ilari gameplay. We saw some. It was very like hit
really,
and
you don't
miss.
I thought we saw a pretty decent amount.
Yeah, a good amount. Like, I wouldn't good say amount. That. It was not permapicked, is what I'm saying. It was not permapicked.
Sure, yeah.
We saw a good amount.
No. Yeah, it was meta. Definitely meta.
It was
meta.
Good. No, it was nice. I think this is probably one of the better play rates for hero releases that we've had because it wasn't like perma meta slash mega busted on the first week it's played. But it also wasn't Lifeweaver, where no one played it because that hero sucked on launch. So I thought,
hey, we got Lifeweaver this weekend too.
which was also quite fun, right? So it was a
who
nice
played
balance.
Lifeweaver?
Yeah, it, who played it? I think for a little bit.
It was like maybe. No, we even out. I think we got Vancouver did too. Vancouver played Lifeweaver.
Yeah, it was a little bit, which is
so
nice.
So the two teams that played Lifeweaver lost. Understood.
well, I mean, I think I can't remember if those were the only. Like, I'd have to go back, but I know Vancouver and Vegas did, but legitimately, it wasn't that bad. Like, with the new tree buffs, I don't think, obviously, it's not the topic of this conversation, but
the
tree
is actually.
The tree is actually.
Hey, we can talk about all meta. We can talk about the meta. Yeah, yeah.
Like, with Ilari, I think it was perfect. The perfect balance of, like, we're not seeing her all the time, but we're not seeing her never. So, yeah, I thought it was really good. It was really fun to see what different heroes she'd actually pair up with. BAP obviously seems one of the better ones right now.
We see a lot of BAP. We saw like, I mean, it makes sense because essentially, like, how she fits in the meta.
Yeah,
it seems right now is that she is someone to enable your flankers, and she's like Kiriko. It's like Kiriko where it's like a dueler that also can heal, but also has like probably slightly better sustain because of the pylon and the left click heal. But like less like a burst saving without the Suzu and such. And also her ult, oh my god, her ult is so much worse than the Rosh.
Yes,
her ult at the Overwatch League level is like...
It's bad.
It's so bad. Some people are saying it's bad. I don't necessarily think it's like bad, but
it's low consistency value.
It's very hard to get value out of. It's hard. Like, we were counting the value. There was a game we had in the chat of like, there was a dedicated hater in my chat this weekend of like hating on the Majed. Because like, the rumors kind of in the A was that Majed was like the best Ilari coming out of like an A. That was like the rumors. That. And like, he played for Toronto. He played well, but like, you know, we were tracking the amount of times that like, it was like essentially Liar versus the hater, the Majed hater in chat. And like, and he ended up going like, in like, essentially in like a series of like, out of like 12 ults, he got like probably maybe like four or five of them really got value. And by value, that's essentially meaning like either not immediately dying or getting or like tagging like or slash killing one, maybe two people max, you know, like right. That's like 5 ults out of like 12, you know, or 13. Like it was not, it was a very hard ult to consistently get value out. And that wasn't just for him either. It wasn't just a Majed issue either. Like it happened to like all of them pretty much, where like it seems that a lot more of its value is the based on the Illari player can like escape and like kind of like save themselves a bit or reposition more so than like get tons of value with the damage.
It's kind of like D.Va in a way where like she's using, like you said, she's using her ult to, in D.Va's instance, using it to reset and like self-destruct. You're not ever finding like, if you do, it's like, holy shit, that's sick. Like, you know, you get a nice couple of self-destruct kills or something, but it's very much reliant on her kit is her main focus. Like unlike people like Genji, right? Genji, Nana Blades, really fucking good. Regular Blade, not good, really. Maybe you get value, but normally it's to like force another ability or an ult from the other team. So it's like opposite to Genji in a way. I quite like that. The neutral game from Illari is like really fun to watch. Just her hitting people across map. It's very strong when it's in the hands of very good people, but I think it's really entertaining. And honestly, when the ult does get something, it's cool. It is like a big D.Va bomb, right? I think it's kind of wicked to look at. I think with how long she's been out and how long they've been playing her, especially on like in officials and stuff, like the ult's probably going to get a little bit better, but I don't think we'll see it on the same level as like a Rush or like a Nano or something like that. I just don't think it's that good at this level of finding consistency.
Yeah, it's an interesting hero pick because it's like another support release that, if we ignore Life Weaver essentially, but like if we fall, like essentially that's built to take duels and enable flankers, like Kiriko. Yeah. Because Brigitte technically is built to really enable flankers, but she was never really meant to like flank herself, to like actually take those fights with her kit design. She's a lot better like playing safer. She's easy to dive. She doesn't do a lot of damage. So like, this is like an interesting design philosophy where we're building support heroes that clearly can heal the team and support, but also are like very suitable to take fights and like be aggressive fights, which I think is a cool design. I think it's also, we don't necessarily want to get like too damage pilled with supports though necessarily, because then you run a risk of like, and I think that's also why we had such immediate buffs coming out for the hero. Even though I know a lot of people complained because like, oh, we're already fucking the meta. Like we've been practicing and now. Nerfs. I should say nerfs. Oh, right, yeah, okay. Nerfs. Yeah. Where they nerfed her damage significantly, you know? And like before she even went live for Overwatch League and such, and like teams were complaining, be like, oh, we've been practicing on this, which is completely fair. But like also like she was a little too strong. Before that, like she was just absolutely deleting like low HP DPS heroes like consistently. So it's a fine line to walk, because if you make supports too powerful, obviously, then that's unfun. Like, and people already do complain that supports maybe have too much power creep currently in certain ways, but like, I think you don't want to have a support hero where their whole kit is like, I can duel anyone, any flanker essentially, and win even easier than Kiriko, because her shots were a lot easier to land than Kiriko's, like Kunai. Right.
And she had the start of Overwatch 2. The start of Overwatch 2 was just people complaining about supports being like the worst role. So
exactly, and people exactly. That's the point, right? It's like a fine line between like we don't want to have. We want them also to be like engaging and fun, and there's more play styles than just I just heal. Like I can like take fights, but also you don't want them to be like. And also, I also think there's different paradigms for like support design, right? Like you don't have like there's the Kiriko like Illari like design, there's like the Ana Zen designs, there's like a, you know, a Lucio like BAP design, Brigitte design, like there's different paradigms of design you can go, and so you don't have to like commit to all of your heroes being like, I want every support hero from now on to be like they can fight while also healing. Yeah. Like I don't think it has to be that way.
I mean, should speak to Mr. Jacob Lyon, I think, because he said the exact opposite to me the other day on broadcast. Not on
but
broadcast,
I just don't think everybody
should do damage. Every support should just be a fucking DPS with heals, bro. Like,
don't think it's necessary, because that's not how Overwatch is meant to be played. And also, we also then essentially eliminate like variety of comp, right? Like, or
right,
like comp,
right, right,
like ideas, pretty much.
I can see Jake's position though.
Yeah, I can understand I'm assuming his position is like, I want supports to be more interactive and like more people play and stuff like that.
Pretty much,
like, I'm assuming that's what.
Because I don't want supports to just be Life Weaver Mercy. Like, I want you know, supports that do things. You can actively see gameplay. You can see the outplays. You can see the mechanical skill. Just by the way, in terms of the, just the, one thing I want to say about the Kariko versus Ilari thing with dueling there. Ilari is insane at dueling just because of Pylon. I still think Pylon is too strong in my opinion. Pylon just insane value. You barely need to do right click heals. I think Pylon just gives you ult essentially. But you can spam kunais for dueling, and you can't really spam the Ilari left click because you need time to charge, which means time between shots is the fire rate is low unless you just want to spam super low damage shots in Ilari. And Kariko's got a better heart out as well. Generally though, I've been enjoying double flex support. I was maybe concerned we were just going to get into some like real dumb bunker double massive poke war. No one's going to commit ever, but right. The meta has been pleasantly surprising in that you're still seeing, you know, good gameplay happen that's active and not super passive with people just waiting around and poking a lot. You're seeing matchups where, like we have on screen, you know, it's not even poke versus poke, but you might still get the double flex support with an Ana Ilari. You might see a Kariko in there. You might, often you'll see the BAP in there as well. But having double flex support has been a breath of fresh air because, you know, to maybe agree slightly with Jake, it's been fun watching both supports be super active in terms of their damage output and their utility in game and seeing the raw impact.
I actually kind of appreciate how bad the ultimate is. Like, I'm glad that it's just not like an AoE five-man ultimate that you just drop and the entire team just like frags out. Like, it's not a tree of life that just like takes up the entire battlefield and everyone on your team gets healed. It's not a Kitsune Rush where like, oh, everyone on your team is just damage boosted by speed and just like it's now overpowered. Actually, I like the, you know, one-man ultimates, kind of like, you know, it doesn't have to be a one-man ult, but, you know, kind of like non-boost. Like, you just apply it to one person, and you improve that person's powers. Like, you use Ilari ult, and you get maybe one or two people, and you try to kill them, and, like, that's enough. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, a major team, big support ultimate, so I can appreciate that. I've been liking it.
I appreciate the outplays you can do with the ultimate as well, because you don't even need to do it for, I'm going to get a kill, but you can use it as an escape tool. You can use it as an anti-dive. You get dived into, shift ult, you're just in the air. Like, these kind of things are really cool in terms of seeing what players can do with the ultimate that isn't just, like, a smork, I will try and hit five people. The balance on the ult is fine. I think I'm really okay with where the ult is. I was initially kind of scared that strong damage ults on supports doesn't feel right. But this is this ult's turned out fine. I'm all good with it.
Yeah. It's also really fun as well if you tag a person and then you like have to hunt them down to deal damage to them. I kind of enjoy that. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it makes it fun for like regular players, right? Like,
yeah.
Which is fun. If I jump on her in solo queue, I can just like ult somebody and I can chase them down and they blow up, you know, maybe they blow someone else up. That's kind of fun, you know? And
yeah.
I think sometimes it's difficult to get that balance of entertainment value from pro play to just like regular gaming. So yeah, I think... Cool hero, man. Cool hero. Yeah. And I think it helps that she has a very high skill ceiling as well. That definitely fucking helps in terms of the like the fun factor because, dude, it's satisfying getting a fucking two-tap off, you know? Or, like, it's satisfying getting a big ult off. Like, I think that was the problem with Lifeweaver in a way, right? Like, he was very defensive and every part of his kit was... It was all to do with him saving people and, like, moving people around. But it's just like, what part of that kit is satisfying? You know what I mean? Like, I think that, for me at least, that's... what was lacking from Lifeweaver. Like, oh, cool, I pulled someone out of Shadow. That's pretty cool. Okay, like, I pulled someone away from Dragonblade. That's pretty sick, but the satisfaction?
What is Blood waffling about?
The satisfaction factor is very much there with Ilari. What the fuck? Dude, what is going on?
Okay, I got a question for Vaas. How did you guys decide between Marco and RuPaul for Ilari?
Well, you're asking me, like, what am I in the coaching room? Like, I don't
know.
I don't fucking know. I've been told that supposedly, though, I mean, I know the long-term vision for Maka, obviously, long-term, let's see what happens. But, like, essentially, they really, when they scouted him, they thought he was a very, very mechanically talented player. And I guess he came to the States recently, got his visa, got to the States, and they were practicing. Because even, I know he was doing some practice in Korea, and they were just like, the dude just pounds, so they just wanted to play him. Like, that's it. I don't exactly know, like, what the exact reason is. My guess and understanding from gleaning stuff is probably they think They probably think Maka has like really power, like much higher mechanics levels, but like RuPaul is like a very smart player, right? It's not like he's like bad mechanics, but he's like a very intelligent player, while Maka is like obviously has like a very mechanically gifted player type of thing. Is follow probably up. Like where they're
follow thinking. Up question, but are you guys satisficated with your decision?
I don't know. I mean, I that's a question for Gumba and Albert more so than myself, because once again, I do not run the competitive operations of the team, nor am I in charge of making decisions on it in any capacity. So I that don't have like a lie. That's not a lie. So I don't know. I mean, I imagine they're happy because they won and they qualified for Toronto and they beat Boston. So now there's very likely they could potentially get, it's very possible they could get first seed, I think, still for Mayhem. So like, I don't actually know, but I'm sure winning against Boston was probably like, yeah, we made the right choice.
All right, so let's talk about the meta more overarchingly. Do you like the current meta that we saw this past weekend? Do you have any like initial thoughts on what might be like the permanent meta as you get closer to play-ins and playoffs?
Because it's not Orisa full-time. I think it would be good.
I don't even mind Orisa full-time. I'm going to be honest, I don't mind it. But like, also, it's not Orisa full-time right now. I think the meta current, but it's really tough to tell, right? Because it's early. It's really early. Mm-hmm. It's teams will obviously naturally gravitate towards what seems to be like the most winning comp typically. Like obviously there's been some pushback, you know, some free thinkers trying to be like, I want to play our strength. I mean, London's going to play Reinhardt furiously no matter what, you know, Reinhardt, like London will be playing Ryan. They will be there no matter what. And it's still working, but for at least for their matches this week. But like, I think right now the meta as it currently stands, if we assume this is going to be meta, is really nice because there's a lot of diversity. You know, yeah, we're seeing Orisa, we're seeing Winston, we're seeing Junker Queen. Fuel are like literally pogging out of their gourds because they can play Junker Queen. Like there's a lot of variety with like your backlines and your DPS and stuff. And you're seeing Genji getting played again. You know, like it's and Sombra's kind of dead. Like she's not like completely out. Like there's some instances where you see Sombra get played, like where teams pulled out a D.Va, you know, like because you'd see like D.Va and Sigma still get pulled out on certain maps and such. But like, I don't know. I think it's a really nice meta if we can keep this heading into playoffs and grand finals. But it just depends on like if that's going
to
stay.
I'm loving the variety. It's been so fun to watch the variety. You get to actually have genuine conversations about, hey, what are optimal picks here? How does that interact with the team's play styles? And you know, it's not a situation where the meta is stale enough that like, well, you can't have those conversations at all because you know, here are the 5 to 6 heroes that will get played no matter what, and that's it. And then will a team like London try and hard force something else? And that's the only interesting thing. I am still kind of sad from the loss of Trace in the meta, but we get Genji back, which is super, super pog. I thoroughly enjoy watching Genji gameplay. I don't even know how he snuck back in. I think some of it might have been to deal with the fact that, you know, do a really good job on following up on Alari ultimate, stuff like that. I think some of the maps as well, like when I look at Flashpoint, both the Flashpoint maps are very good for Genji. Like insane geometry for Genji. And you don't even need an Ana. Like that's the craziest part is usually Genji's, not that it's a Genji meta, but if you're going to play Genji, you typically need the Nano. But we are seeing so many Nano-less comps where you just play the Genji anyway and the shit works. Really fun.
Yeah, I mean also I think if you play the Ana and commit to it, you're going to get stuck into what happened with like Vancouver, where essentially they were just stuck in the old cycle of Doom where it's like, okay, we're taking fights and losing. And then, okay, Nanoblade's up, time to win the fight. And then it just like rinse and repeat. So it's like, it's a hard sustainable strategy just because of the fact that like Genji is great because you can with like, when you're playing with like Winston comps or stuff like that, or like you can force out some cooldowns or like follow up on some picks, but like if you have to be good at the neutral to do that. So if you're really reliant on the blade to get your value, then the comp is not going to be very good. You need a lot of value from the Genji and the neutral to like get dash and follow up.
I got nothing really to add, but like, yeah, just as long as this keeps up, if we can actually get a playoffs where it's just variations of different comps, then I think this playoffs might be the best we've. Because there's normally a point in time just for playoffs where the meta does just end up being this one comp or a slight variation of the comp, and you can maybe flip between what like this or that kind of thing. But there isn't a crazy amount of variety. But if we can have this throughout the whole thing, I think this is Overwatch at its best, right? And I think this is what, honestly, from like a dev perspective, you're like, this is what it's all about right here, right? You're seeing a ton of stuff, and I'm sure the devs are nailed it. Watching, you know, that they're pretty happy about seeing some Winston, some JQ, some this, some Reaper, some fucking Soge, you know?
No, like, no Reaper, thanks.
A little bit every. Yeah, I don't really like watching Reaper.
I mean, I like the Reaper, like, appearing every once in a while still.
Yeah, like, this is the thing. I don't think anything is bad at all. As long as it's not perma-picked. My big worry, especially going into this patch, was Orisa and the potential prevalence of a zombie comp. Like, that was my grand worry. If we reach a point, even to be fair,
grand worry. You're talking like Oppenheimer.
Yeah, hey.
My grand worry.
My grand worry. that is the grand worry of the Overwatch community. Or like Overwatch League, bro. If we end up in a position again where we just have zombie comp, because zombie comp is boring as shit. It's not fun to watch. It's not fun to watch two Orishas just spin at each other and then Reaper just sit there chunking people. Like, not cool, but this, very cool.
Yeah. We got 4 more weeks until playoffs. So, time to get the Hopium out, Joss. That this variety will last for 4 weeks, historically unlikely.
No more patches, right? We're done with patches. This is it?
Who knows?
I mean, who knows? Who knows? You don't know. You never know.
Because, Apex and Knockouts right now, so...
That won't be an OPR. Please. That won't be a tournament round, though. Like,
I'm pretty sure we're playing this till the end of the year. Pretty sure.
I mean, it would make the most sense to just lock this as the patch. Just even if a new patch comes out, to just lock this as the patch.
I think so. Yeah.
But like, you never know. You just never know. So.
All right, let's get into some of the narrative topics coming out from this week. This first week, there were three that stood out to me that I want to talk about. First one is, we gotta say goodbye. We have to say goodbye to the Vegas Eternal. Thank them for their season, their 0-16 season. Thank them for the contributions, the good times, the good memories this year. They gave us players like Knife. That was cool. Thoughts?
That was cool. That was cool. He said.
Oh my god. For the 5 years this team has existed, you're like, thank you for Knife.
Bro, I mean, well, first of all, okay, what about...
what about Lumino? The Sparkle era?
Yeah, I just said this era? Season. I just meant this season.
This season.
Come on now. Technically. Yeah.
I mean, like, so here's the real... When we look back as well, their Overwatch League charts, like, account tallied it up after 2 years, essentially, like, when they made their swap, like, mid-season of, like, last year or whatever, they've essentially gone... The Dragons' loss streak was 0-42 over season 1. Vegas went 0-41 the past 2 years.
1-41.
No, I don't think that's right, actually.
No, I think it was like, or like it was like 1-40 or something.
Because I tried to do that math.
No, you're right. It was like 1-40 or something like that, right?
It was like 1-34 or something, right?
I think New York gave them their only win in the last 2 years.
No, they won. Like, we gotta find it. I'm searching for the Overwatch issue, but I'm pretty sure it was like.
The unsatisfying point is that if there were more matches this season, it is very likely
they could
that
they could have beaten the loss record.
Yeah.
Yes.
But because there are no more matches, we won't get to see them continue the lose streak. So that was kind of,
We should give them one more game. Give them one more game.
No, they need like 10 more games, I think.
Okay, give them 10 more games.
Yeah.
I don't know versus who, but.
They just need to come back for another
season.
It is amazing because if the Overwatch League ends this season or not, like, we don't know. But like in 5 years, we'll be able to discuss whether Vegas Eternal or Shanghai Dragons were worse, and they'll be actually.
I think without questions, it's Dragons. Without question,
but Vegas had a worse.
It was the same roster though with Dragons, right?
Dragons was not worse.
Dragons was not worse. They went 0-42.
Yeah, but their games were way more competitive. They went to multiple map fives. They pushed teams. Teams had to prep the shit out of themselves to go up against Dragons because they didn't want to lose to them.
Like, I guess if you go based off that, yes. But also, there have been moments in this year in NA where Vegas have like come close to having a competitive match.
The reverse sweep, for example.
Yeah, like they nearly won. They nearly won, and then they got reversed. Like they could have won. Yeah, they could have won.
That was like that's one Shanghai Florida series.
Yeah, but I mean, they still won a game. They won a game against also. Obviously, this is relative. That was last season.
I'm just saying the number of close games, the number of legitimate nail biters Vegas is so low compared to the number of nail biters for Dragons. And
yeah, but also, and here's the reason I think they're personally worse too, Dragons, is because Dragons played in an era where there was real money still in the game. Like, they had, like, ridiculous money, and they built the worst possible roster when there was fat stacks of cash floating about. Vegas was built with chewing gum and rubber bands, like, they didn't even get visas for their Korean players. Their Korean players were playing with 180 ping in North America. Dragons, that Undead just built the worst roster that's ever been seen in ever with insane resources.
He wasn't the
roster
builder. Come on.
Yeah, I know. But, like, you know, the point being, is that, like, they, yeah, sure, it wasn't Undead. It was, I think it was, like, U4 or something.
Wasn't there, like, some corruption going on or something?
No, but that's the whole thing. It's like, but the thing is, that was when, like, that was, like, we were thinking we were going to be NFL. We were going to be digital NFL. And, like, they went then to build the most assiest roster ever with fat stacks of cash. While Vegas did it when they had half their team was remote.
Let me tell you part of the reason why that roster sucked. Both Leave and Shy were underage. Boom, there you go.
Sure, but that doesn't change the fact that they could have made other choices.
I think the choices were pretty dire because they wanted a full Chinese roster and the choices of eligible players were pretty dire.
Sure, but that's to me why I personally, like, do I agree with you from, like, maybe a competitive aspect of, like, relativity to their time, right? Like they had more matches that were closer. But also, Valiant won a game and Shanghai never did. Or Vegas won a game, Shanghai never did. And secondly, they also nearly won another game this year, because Garver swept. So they would have had two wins. And then also, they were built with, like, probably a third, probably less. I bet that Vegas, if we compare it from Dragon Season 1, like, their total cost for the org to make that roster and everything, for staff and everything, versus Vegas now, I bet that whole endeavor for Vegas was probably a fifth of the total cost of Shanghai Dragon Season 1.
Can we just appreciate really quickly the comment that Bad Patrick Mary made? Undead was building families, not the roster. That's too good.
That's equally unbelievable. It's
true.
That he had to leave mid-season to go to his kid in China or something. Oh,
so
that's crazy.
True.
All right. Oh, yeah. Vegas Eternal, 0-16. I appreciate that the Overwatch League tweeted out the picture. Just said thank you, Vegas.
I did
Eternal.
See that. Yeah,
that was
that makes
brutal.
It look.
Yeah.
That makes it look like, I don't know. My reaction to that picture is like, wait, are Vegas just dead? Have they exited already? Have they just, all right, we pulled out. That's it. Like, that's what
it
looks like to me.
Yeah,
like, thank you for existing, Vegas. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Yep. It was a Vegas Eternal
season. There was some good. I think Rack Attack storyline was a good storyline.
My poor son.
I think
that's the best meme.
Yeah, I think in the end he became my rich son. Okay, when we think about the fun he's delivered to us, he's become my rich son. Like, I think Vegas, and also they did bring some talent into the league this year. That, like, if we have a continuation of the league in whatever form or Overwatch esports, like, getting to be exposed to the Overwatch League stage, even if it was in Vegas, to see people to see, like, Knife and
Knife.
I mean, really easy. Knife. But I mean, also, like, getting to see Irony again, getting to, sure. I mean, Tuyu, like,
Tuyu, this, as
Tuyu
well.
Hard fucking pounded and won the Junker Queen in the last couple of matches. He actually looked really, really good. It was, like, disgusting. They had moments in their last match where they actually were they had some semi close moments with the Shock, like, pretty close. Like, it's just they beefed a lot of their ults still and, like, their engages. But, like, Tuyu was, like, owning. Like, actually owning it. Like, he hard carried. So, like, I still think it was, like, there's still positives to be gleaned from this. But, yes, the franchise as a whole should probably be burned to the ground. Probably be raised and leveled. It does not need to exist anymore. necessarily. So, but it's been fun. It's been fun, Vegas, sort of.
Who could have seen this coming? I spent the entire offseason mauling about how their roster was going to lose every game, and it did. So, oh well.
It did. You called. I had a running joke of, like, if they won a single game, I would go Joker mode. I'd cosplay his full Joker makeup, the purple suit and everything. They never won a single game. I made that bet I made that bet before they did the roster swap. So like a whole year, literally the beginning of the year. That it survived so a roster swap and everything. Man. Nope, oh not even God. Come close. Actually, it did come close in the Valiant match. They came really close.
Liar saved their ass.
Yeah, Liar actually did save my ass.
Yeah. All right, moving on. The Gladiators stand a chance, and we wouldn't really be talking about this because they're playing the Boston Uprising if, you know, this match was pretty close with the New York Excelsior. But they actually look pretty good. They 3-0'd the New York Excelsior, and now they have this, like, destiny match against the Boston Uprising. I believe if Washington Justice and New York Excelsior win their matches, it doesn't matter. But if any of those two teams loses, and they're playing pretty difficult opponents, Gladiators could qualify for play-ins if they beat
the Boston
Uprising. I think
they have to 3-0 Boston.
Really?
I thought, like, so essentially...
I'm sure there's some people in chat,
but essentially it was really easy before. So pretty much, if either London or Toronto had lost, I don't think they had the 3-0. But because London beat Valiant, there's it's unlikely they're going to... I mean, I don't remember what their next match is.
I think if they straight up win and Washington and either New York lose, I think they're in.
Okay, well then maybe not. I don't know. They have a very...
Because they have the same record right now. And so if they win and one of the teams loses, then they're
okay,
have
so
record.
But pretty much it still hinges upon the fact they have to beat Boston. They pretty much
have to beat Boston. Do you think they can do it? That is the question. Do you think LA Gladiators can beat Boston? I'm not saying are they favored. I'm asking, is there a slight chance? Do they have a chance?
They play like they did in this match? Yeah, it's possible. But also New York looked really bad. So... Like, this is probably some of the worst we've seen New York play recently. And, like, when I look at how Boston played versus him, like, Boston looked pretty good, you know?
Guys, I think you're half in the mad crack, I think.
It'll be hard.
Yeah, but, like, not
it'll
even
be,
just
I,
being,
I'm
like,
not
Boston
saying it's impossible. I don't think it's impossible, though. I mean, sure, Gladiators actually came out, and they looked pretty good, so...
Yeah, if they, like, you know? Play up, sure. But, like, I just don't see that happen, man. Like, we're betting so much on a team that has just not performed... Since when? When was the last time we were like, wow, Glads are looking wicked right now. They're looking sick. Like, no. I just don't think it's going to happen. Sorry to burst the bubble there, but it seems like a Boston, like, easy dub.
Seems like it'll be very difficult. I think, I don't know, I got a little bit of faith in Glads now. I let it be known, I did pred them to win versus New York. Some people on this panel did not. So Johnny and I based. I can't remember who. I think
I'm
maybe
sure
I personally I wasn't
pretty
here,
sure
but I personally I predicted on my own stream.
Yeah,
for New
I'm pretty
York
sure Custa
win,
was
so.
The only one who went to New York.
Yeah. Custa's just trying to bring his record down. So
yeah, facts.
Based.
So it was. I mean, New York. I think they also need to get something. They just looked They looked really anemic. Like it wasn't even like they just looked really bad. Like as in. So like.
They're playing Vancouver.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily an easy match, though. I don't think Vancouver are, like, perfect for the meta now. I think Vancouver have real problems in the meta currently. So, like, real problems, because they can't play double flex. They literally can't play double flex.
Faith's terrible, right?
That's why they had Faith playing Lifeweaver, because they were, like, trying to do other stuff, because, like, they can't play double flex. And additionally, they're, like, so they were just entirely reliant on a Genji opposition. Like pretty significant, so like it's like other white meta wise are in a pretty good spot because Punk can play Winston, Punk can play Orisa, Punk can play like the Punk hero pool's fine. Ana is still pretty good, but also the other problem too is it's their backline in general because I think Crimzo is really good and I think Ana's amazing and I don't think his other heroes are bad at all. I think his other heroes are really good, but there's a clear gap between his Ana and his other hero picks, and so like they've essentially entered a meta where Crimzo can't be on his best pick, and Faith doesn't play flex support really. Like he's played like a little bit of Ana, but like it's almost exclusively been like traditional main support heroes like Lucio, Brig, Mercy type of stuff. So Vancouver has a lot of stuff to figure out as well, because they're like not designed for them.
The real ones remember Jack pretting Vancouver last week when the rest of us went to Toronto.
Facts. I did have faith in Titans here.
Well, that's
faith and faith.
You speak up, buddy. I mean, all I'm saying is the reason why, like, because we heard about the rumor mill about Toronto being just crazy, right?
Yeah.
When was the last time one of those rumors?
That was based off like busted ARE though.
When was the last time one of those rumors came true?
That was based on people hyping the fuck out of agendas.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, to be fair, they look pretty good. They look good.
No, at the end of the day, that was a 50-50 bet, to be fair. Like, I didn't have strong feelings either way, but just true. On the fact that a team was rumored to be one of the best, the boys are the best, like, I just didn't... My vote was swayed right there and then, honestly.
All right.
I'd like to see the... we should get the... Well, obviously, I don't think you can, Johnny, but we... I would love to see the percentages and, like, whatnot next week when
that's Mr. Solid technology.
Comes back. I think for the storyline, though, I think it would be incredible. Who would... If Glads were to win and beat Boston, who are they knocking out? Are they knocking out... Like, which person are they most likely to knock out? Is it, like, London?
Justice have one... worse in map differential.
Okay.
I don't even know if they go by map differential. I'm assuming map differential is the first one. But
I think
Washington
would be,
are -7 and New York is -6.
It would be, for the storyline though, good insanity question, if Glads make it after such a ridiculously terrible. If they do make it for what is potentially song Overwatch League, like, I think that would be. And here's the other really funny part too. With all everything that's fallen apart, would Glads... Here's the really funny part. Well, it's not really funny, but it is kind of funny. If Glads were to make it, considering everything else going on, do they even have the ability to pay for flights? Like, and get housing and, like, accommodations there? Like, I don't know. Like, that's the other thing that's crazy. Is like, it's clear they have the money earmarked already for, like, staff and player contracts, but, like, does that...
After several weeks of conversation... The LA Gladiators will not be participating in the 2023 playoffs.
I don't
know. Well, there will only be 11 teams at the playoffs. I don't know what the number is. There will only be 7 teams at the playoffs.
8. Yeah, there will be 8 teams. So, like, that's the thing. Is like, I think there's, like, that's the other crazy part about this. Is that there is a theoretical chance as well that if Glads were to make it, they might not even be able to attend.
No, they... help. Dude, no. Come on. Surely.
I don't know. Because, I mean, like...
They gotta sell more Doritos.
It depends, yeah, because, like, a lot of times it depends on how they earmark the budgets, because I don't know if they earmark travel already in their budget.
That might be the most heinous thing I've ever heard about in esports. That's the case. Sorry, we couldn't pay for the flights to playoffs, so we're gonna not play.
Well, it's gonna be like if Vegas had made it in 20, also with Vegas in 2021, I believe, if they had, when they had their, like, roster that was, like, half in Europe or something, like, they were, because of, like, or it was 2020 actually. If they had, like, one of those 2 years, I can't remember which one, if they had made it to midseason or playoffs or something, I think it was midseason madness in Hawaii, they weren't, there was,
that was a visa problem, though.
No? Yeah, they were, yeah, but the thing is, they weren't going to be able to attend still. They weren't going to be able to attend.
Right. Yeah, that was 2021. That was 2021.
Yeah. So it's not like it's an unheard of thing.
And then last year, Valiant, like, not that they were really going to win, but their org told the players, like, hey, don't win because we can't afford to play you to get you on flights.
So that's like, I mean, I don't think it's that crazy considering everything else. Like, if Glads even somehow pull off a miracle and beat Boston, like, what's the situation? Does the league step in and pay for it? Like,
any, honestly, you're right. Anything can happen at this point. What we've seen with the guard, honestly.
I think the league would rather help Glads out than. Cop, I don't know. I'm saying this, and I'm like losing faith in my own statement as I'm saying it. The league doesn't want to lose too much face. At the same time, if you then give this to Glads, the other teams are like, well, what the fuck? Why don't you give us this as well? So it gets in the weird territory.
Yeah.
Can we mention the fact that New York have Titans to play, and then Justice have Toronto to play? So, like, Gladiators making it obviously hinges on a lot of things, right? But with Glads. They have the toughest opposition out of those three teams that are not yet fully placed and qualified, which is insane. Like,
can they make it even if they lose to Boston, or do they have to win?
If they lose to Boston, no, right? Because their map differential. Oh, wait.
Last week we worked out they only need to win one game.
Yeah, there's probably some fuck maths in there because I'm looking at the differential right now, the map differential, and there's only a -2 between the graphic them and Justice. Again.
Well, also, there's been a new post as well. It says, if Glads loses their new match post with Boston, or all three teams win. So if New York and Justice both win, or if Glads also, and like if all three of them win, Glads can't make it, right? Or if Glads loses, they can't make it. If two of the teams win and one lose, the losing team is out. So let's say, for example, GLaDS wins and New York wins, but Justice loses, Justice is out. Or, for example, like, so pretty much as long as GLaDS win, whoever, and another team wins, whoever else loses is out. And additionally, if GLaDS wins, but both Justice and New York lose, Justice is out unless New York loses 3-0. And if Justice loses 3-2 because of map differential. So, like, it's very much, like, baseline, GLaDS have to win for anything to matter, right? If GLaDS don't win, it doesn't matter. They're out. Then it becomes like, okay, who else wins? If everyone wins, GLaDS still might not. GLaDS probably
won't. I got the tweet.
Yeah.
AlStatsNet tweet.
Yeah.
AlStatsNet.
AlStatsNet.
Didn't I fucking already explain this?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Pretty much, it's like we're just reiterating again. But like the point being is that like GLaDS has to win. GLaDS has to win. That's it. That's all that matters. GLaDS has to win. So I don't think anyone. I don't think it matters because it's only New York or Justice that are on the edge of potentially getting out. That's it. No one else is. Just those.
There's two. Man. It feels like GLaDS have done even worse than their scoreline is currently. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, they didn't have that bad of a beginning of a season though. They had a pretty good beginning of the season. It's just they had one really, really awful stretch.
Yeah, it's like also the perception of GLaDS is to not be where they are for me. So I'm like, wait, how are GLaDS this bad? Or like, you know, how are they at this scoreline currently? That just doesn't make sense. But it's wild that we're in a situation again where there's like three teams tying for a place. Like, because we had halfway through the season, weren't like fucking five teams on 5-5 or some shit like that? It was just so stupid. And it was just a week of just people finally trading games and teams and stuff. And it was crazy. By the way, I just can't believe. Yeah, this is fucking, it's going to be an interesting weekend for sure. Like,
my favorite storyline is that Toronto still has a chance to go perfectly mid. I want it so badly. They have to win their next match.
3-1. They have to go 3-1.
If they win their next match 3-1, they can be perfectly mathematically mid again. And I think that is... Oh. That the storyline potential coming into next weekend is insanity. The Toronto perfect mid, Gladiators making it and putting out a team, or Gladiators even not making it. Like, the storyline potential for next weekend is, or for this upcoming weekend, is fucking ridiculous. Like, it's like out of this world. It's insane.
I want it so bad. Potentials. I want it so badly.
Yeah, I need to see if I'm casting one.
And also, it would be still crazy for like some other more minor storylines as well to have, like, you know, to potentially have it, like, imagine if New York makes it in over Justice and everyone was like, Justice is like the secret Dark Horse team. New York is so bad. They make midseason roster adjustments. Like, they're actually like, they play like Anyun, you know, like they play, like they have like a player, they have like the second female Overwatch League player, like playing the league and win maps, like, and they make it in with like Chang'Goon being the head coach.
Yeah.
And then Justice with like, everyone was like, holy shit, Dark Horse team. They have Alfie type of thing. Just like flop, like don't make it. And people were like proposing that like Alpha E could be like a theoretical MVP candidate because of how good he's been. Like, you know, it's like, it's insanity. It's like, it's a legitimately like, those are less impactful storylines than the GLaDS or Toronto storylines because like they're just less, like the stakes aren't as big in certain ways. But like, it is ridiculous the amount of storylines culminate.
Who did Toronto play again? What's the game? Washington.
Yeah.
Washington.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a prediction right now. It's going to be 3-1, and the map they lose is Flashpoint.
We're having Preds.
I want to be very specific about how
we're doing
Preds. Occurs.
I don't have the technology.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. We're not doing Preds. Well, we should
Okay, the Pred is 3-1,
we'll
and they specifically
all, you know,
lose Flashpoint.
We'll do scuffed Preds just off the cuff, so.
Sure.
There we go.
I want people to come back to this moment and know that I called it exactly. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen.
I mean, I'm predicting 3-1 just because it's funny. I don't even believe it.
Yes,
I don't even care. I'm just predicting 3-1. I just want it to happen.
We actually have three really teams that can be perfectly balanced. If Shock lose 3-1 to Atlanta, they're perfectly mid. And if London Spitfire win 3-0, they're perfectly even as well.
Mm,
so,
who did London play?
Houston.
Oh, that's a bit of an ask. They're not perfectly mid, everybody. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
Toronto perfect mid will be honestly the biggest.
The Toronto perfect
mid
is the only one that matters though, because they've had a history of being mid. You know, being perfectly mid. Like,
I feel like I saw a Toronto person the other day tweeting about that situation. They're like, we really want to. It might be the Toronto account. I don't know, but they were like, I want to be perfectly mid or some shit like that. We're so close.
I'm not advocating for match fixing, but can they pull if they up 2-0? Just give up one map. Just give up one.
Yeah. You know? I mean, but that's not match fixing. That's sandbagging. Thanks.
Sandbagging, right.
True, that's true.
Then we can also loop back to New York season one storylines.
Yep.
Go back to there. Then we can create a perfect Ouroboros of storylines that are being eaten unto itself. What is potentially the first to potentially the last season, the Overwatch League. And we get the same storylines. They're all there. They're all returned.
And like the Ouroboros, Overwatch League has eaten itself alive. So you know, it is quite good.
Yeah,
wait, that's such a good analogy. Wow.
It's all working together. So I'm excited.
It's going to be a good weekend.
It's going to be a good weekend indeed. All right. Let's do some scuff predictions just off the cuff here. We have six.
Where's the list?
Yeah. So I picked out five matches. We're going to APAC first. We didn't really discuss the APAC knockout bracket here. But if you missed out on the APAC bracket, Seoul Dynasty sucks. That's all you need to know.
And they lost. They lost to the players they booted from the team. and Lee Soo Min after beating them. No. Also, I'm officially putting out wanted poster. It's not even a wanted, just like something. Imagine we're in a town square and you enter the town for the first time. You're just visiting the village and you see like a little poster, like all the, you know, all the things on that board. Fraud alert, Toby coach. Fraud alert.
Damn, dude, this guy's coming out swinging.
Toby's my goat. Toby's my goat for main support still. He's like one of the best players to ever do it. Define the role. Really incredibly good. The decisions with Seoul and the way they've been coached, abysmal. I don't think he's a very good coach. I have not been impressed. So I think that he is a player. He might be a really good assistant coach pick because of his game knowledge, but it's clear head coach has not been working. So
that'd be competing in the lower.
My
brackets.
Personal thought. Still think he's my goat though when it comes to Lucio.
It's because and the timelines don't line up, but I'm just doing it for the narrative. It's because assistant coach for Seoul Dynasty MMA went to play in a StarCraft 2 tournament. That's what happened.
Okay.
He left to go play StarCraft 2.
Sure.
He did actually do that though, but it might not have, again, the timelines. He did that during the break. But I'm trying to force a narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dynasty lost 3-0 to 0-2 Blast, and therefore in the lower brackets. And have to fight the Guangzhou Charge for survival to make
it. Oh baby.
Oh, the Charge are another team that I don't know, dude. This team has imploded.
Oh man.
They lost their coaching staff entirely and now they're just
they're just the Chinese version of the Guard, man. Like, it's just like, they're just kind of just waiting it out, you know? They're kind of just waiting it out at this point. So,
yeah. We're not predicting that match, but let's kick things off with Seoul Infernal versus O2 Blast then.
Okay.
Seoul Infernal seems like the pretty obvious pick here. Does O2 Blast have a chance?
Yes, but Infernal are going to win. O2 Blast have a chance.
They have a chance.
But Infernal will definitely win. But it would also be the most infernal thing to do to not win. So you got that going for them as well.
That's true. And that's actually very true. It's why they're, unfortunately, Infernal is a cursed organization. I think Infernal should win that.
They should win this.
Do you know what's
crazy about this bracket, by the way, is that this entire knockout bracket, it's all dependent on your win record from both the knockouts of spring and this summer combined. So even if you win the bracket, it's not guaranteed that you actually qualify playoffs.
Yeah, because essentially, isn't there a chance? Because essentially, so contenders teams, no matter what, even if they win, they can't make it, right?
Only Dreamers can. Only Dreamers. Oh, the other ones
because they had
count.
A good enough placement at like the mid-season knockouts, right?
The
right.
Spring knockout, yeah.
The spring knockouts.
Every
right?
other contenders team is just here for fun.
Like even if they won, they couldn't make it to playoffs, which is fucking bananas. Fucking bananas format. And then like the APAC. Oh my god, the APAC format is so brutal. I'm confused at bits and pieces of it. I still don't even really understand bits and pieces of the fucking form.
Like, how do you actually qualify? Apparently, if you win the bracket, you might not qualify. So I'm like, what?
Like, that's just like bizarre.
What?
But to be fair, I don't necessarily have anything against. I don't think it's the best format ever, but I don't have anything against like there being a situation where a team could win something and not qualify because they were bad previously, but. It's not even that. It's more so like if you didn't get a very hyper-specific, like insanely top placement in midseason, what it sounds like is that the contenders teams were...
Yeah, but your bracket is just RNG as well because I have issues with the seedings of the bracket. So you could have just been unlucky with your seeding of the bracket. And, you know, I would rather they've also include the regular season results in there to at least weigh the regular season a little bit higher. I don't know. I don't want to just turn this into like format talk again, but I think at minimum, look, even the people that want to like I don't know if I should say give free passes, but at least, you know, say the format is okay. Because Yiska's come out and he's like, yeah, the format's fine. I'm like, all right, maybe I'm putting words in his mouth. But even if you want to say that, you should at least be able to admit it's convoluted and confusing as fuck. Because I don't even understand what the hell this
is. It is very convoluted.
you should, man, it's fucking frustrating because if you're a viewer, you just want to look at something and go, okay, that makes sense. Like, if you can't grasp it within the first couple of minutes of looking at a bracket and like who qualifies, who doesn't, how people
minutes,
got
fucking
there,
seconds, man.
Seconds, yeah, sure, seconds, yeah. Like, then the bracket is not good. And like the rules and how people placed in, like how they qualify into is it's
like, yeah. I watch.
You need someone else to explain it to you. Not great.
Like, and I watch, like, I keep up with APAC and watch where I can, right? Like, I'm not watching, like, obviously. But, like, I still am watching it, like, keeping eyes on it and keep watching it. And I'm like, I don't fucking know half the time what's happening.
You're in the scene and you fucking don't understand? Then holy shit, what are the chances?
But all I know is that supposedly the people with the best chances, theoretically. Because isn't there still a chance that, like, even a fuel one, they could might not make it?
They didn't. What was their bracket in spring? Because I think their result in spring kind of
Lore Masters
impacted things a little bit. Yeah, they got to the final. That's not bad, actually. They got to the final.
Okay, so maybe
there's
a chance.
So there should be a chance for them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Essentially, it's like it doesn't matter where you do here. It's entirely based off of, like, your spring knockout performance, pretty much. So
it's like, why have a bracket then? Let's just do a round robin. Let's just do, like, anything else but a bracket, because if you do a bracket, you're supposed to win something at the end.
Yeah, like, the bracket does imply that, like, you reach the terminus of it. Yeah. You've reached the end of the bracket, and thus you are rewarded for reaching the end of the bracket in some capacity.
I'm gonna credit you for O2 Blast improvement, because ever since I said that O2 Blast was shit, and you did the APAC co-stream, and you watched them beat Soul Dynasty the first time, they've been good since then.
Oh,
so I don't know what happened, but that was the moment they turned it all around.
I just want to say this. I just want to say this while we're doing this stuff, Avril. Me and Jaws, we attended Demon One's debut at VCT Americas. We went to the VCT studio. We were there. We watched EG versus 100 Thieves. And we watched Demon One's debut. And since that day on, Demon One has just been dominating VCT.
Me and Jaws
went there to bless Demon One.
I'll give it to you.
In its rookie match. There you go.
How does that relate to O2 Blast?
Well, because you blessed O2 Blast. The
and simultaneously
we're all getting a blessing here. Everybody's
we're all blessing here.
We all have mystical powers, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I need a next up blessing. Avril, you have to bless someone next.
You bless
someone. I don't know. I don't know. Is there a team that, like...
You can't force a blessing. It just happens naturally.
Well, you have to believe in it, though. You know? It has to occur naturally.
The energy has to flow within you.
Can I believe in Atlanta rain? Is that too easy?
Sure. I mean, that's nice. That's like believing that Walmart's gonna make money this year. But sure, like, fair enough.
I mean,
like,
they probably will. Why not?
That's fair. Walmart's you got a good chance.
We have a 10-minute hard out there, so we got to speed run these.
Okay, let's go through this.
Yeah.
Let's go through, baby.
Dallas Fuel, Hangzhou Spark.
Fuel.
Probably Fuel, especially since they can play JQ.
What else can they play? Can they really one-trick Queen?
It's the playoffs meta, bro.
I think
Come
you
on.
Can. Genuinely.
I also
like,
don't care.
Every
I don't
map. One trick right now.
Don't believe this team.
Not every map, obviously, but...
Oh, God.
But I'm trusting in coach and playoffs rush. I'm trusting in, like, a playoffs
that's
end rush.
Junker
Queen meta. Also, fuck the Spark. Don't believe in that team. They've let me down too much. it's Fuel.
My problem with the Spark is they're playing a lot of Winston. And Hanbin is just smacking his lips. He's ready. He's getting ready for that matchup.
Hanbin's gonna
that being
eat
said,
that Winston.
That being said, they did lose to Spark twice in a row previously, and they lost to Winston, even with the Jungle Queens. So
don't care. New meta. Dallas Fuel.
Okay, fine. Yeah,
don't
I'll go.
Care. New meta.
I'm very tempted to go Fuel as well. So yeah.
Okay, moving on. We got three NA matches I'm keeping my eyes on this week, right here. First one, Toronto Defiant against the Washington Justice. I guess we already played that one.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's going Toronto Defiant 3-1. For the even record. Yeah.
I think I have to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
It has to be. I will be there no matter what. I will believe it.
Okay. We also kind of predicted Boston Uprising as the LA Gladiators.
But I'm gonna say 3-2 for maximum tragedy. Maximum
tragedy.
My brain tells me Boston wins the match.
Yeah.
My heart tells me
I would say I'd say a 3-1 Boston, honestly. I just don't think there's a way. I don't think there's a will, but there is no way.
However, I'm thinking more, and I'm like, Boston has done some very funny things in the past. Boston is a funny franchise.
Yeah.
They're not playing for anything.
But and they're not playing for anything. Ooh, but that's also dangerous. Because if they're not playing for anything, you can get power up as well. Like, you can just, like, I don't care. Like, the pressure's off type of situation. So...
you're saying Boston could do something very funny.
I'm going for the funny outcome. Glad's win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Funny outcome, Glad's win. I don't necessarily believe it, but I think it's funny.
I'm going for funny outcome, too. And finally, the last match of the season, of the regular season, Atlanta Reign against the San Francisco Shock.
I'm taking Reign.
Yeah, I'm taking Reign. Reign smack him. Yeah.
What scoreline does Shock need for 0.500 mid? 1-3, is it? Or do they have to go 3-1?
Let me check. It'd be perfect mid?
Perfect mid, yeah, Shock needs to lose 3-1. So if they win one map.
I think that's mid. Possible.
Very possible,
I think that's extremely possible.
Yeah.
I'll give that to them.
Oh yeah, Reign 3-1. Yeah.
I'll do that.
There we go. There we go. All right. Brand's Player of the Week. And then Avaz has to go. Who do we got this week? Brand's Player of the Week.
Stan Kroenke. For me personally.
No. No. We can't give it to Stan Kroenke. I think there are a couple good options. There's Bustio, who technically was an Overwatch player, won champs.
Okay.
Bustio played in Contenders, won champs recently. Also, North America, baby. North America finally wins another FPS title internationally. Big for us. And it was a Contenders player. I think that there's the option as well, also in that realm of like, we can give it Brin's Player Week literally two. Brennan Sideshow for an amazing year for them. You know, they had a lot of travel and stuff. Like, you know, like literally could get Brennan's Player of the Week to Brennan Hook Sideshow. don't his Twitter's deranged. Oh, you're gonna see some. Dude, I didn't realize this tweet did insane. I didn't realize the numbers on this
130K.
tweet. Oh my
wait, what?
God.
Yeah, I can't see it's too blurry.
Likes. He went like actually
oh my
viral on this.
God.
Tweet.
Yo, this guy making hell. Mad money on Twitter. No, I think that was
Bustio,
though. This
was before, a year ago.
Yeah.
He didn't get money.
Yeah,
no,
was it a year
yeah,
ago?
Was
okay,
way before.
Shit.
Yeah. I don't know why I get why I'm getting this.
If you, Twitter, I'm pretty sure if you're not logged in, it gives you random. It gives you
is this the
random
top posts?
Viral
yeah, I think
posts.
These are just like top
yeah.
posts.
What? Yeah.
I'm getting Shanghai's first win, them leaving the Overwatch League and Among Us.
Among Us. Among Us, Torb. I'm down to give it to Bustio. I think it's quite funny because it's
a great one.
Plat chat crossover with Valorant. I like that.
And also, I mean, he literally was a Contenders player. Yeah. I also think, even though, like, obviously it's not an Overwatch moment, but I think Bustio deserves it for the Overwatch connection, but also, like, it's really cool too, just because, like, that's the storyline in Valorant is also really cool. Potter also to win, like, a huge international.
Let's give it to Bustio.
As well. I think Bustio is a fun one. I don't know who else I'd even want to give it to, like, in the per se right now. That's a better story. What?
What? What is that one?
This video of Jaws. Oh my God. Wait, go back. I need to see if it is room. There he is.
Hey, it's my
the
old clock, bro.
Clock.
That's Mitch's old clock. That's a oh man, that was those
Mitch's
dark
old
back
clock,
then.
And you just put it
yeah,
in your room.
He gave me that clock. Yeah.
Why does he have? Why does he give you a clock? Why did he even give you that?
Oh, this video.
It's
holy
the
shit!
It's the meme video. Yeah. I just laugh at the camera.
Why? What's wrong with that? What's wrong?
It's
no
just funny
because
you look. You're like it looks like you're like without audio. It looks like you're just making a meme.
Oh, that's a good one. That's actually a good fucking video.
That one's really good.
Oh, so I spent average wrong. If you,
yes, yeah, average.
Of our age.
Dude, I love that picture of Kurt, bro, with the fucking face app, and he looks like a Giga Chad. Oh, I love that.
I mean, we could also give it. I mean, another. Oh, dude, that one's a tragedy. That is a tragedy moment that occurred at Seth's wedding. That was an insanely tragic moment that occurred at Seth's wedding,
God.
Where I realized I had packed one of each. type of shoe instead of my other dress shoe. That is an insanely tragic moment that occurred there.
Oh my god.
Maybe, like, what are you guys' thoughts on, like, Rack Attack?
Oh,
he never got really, never got super, like, negative, you know, never, like,
Dennis Evalka himself.
Like, Dennis Evalka more than Bruins Player of the Week?
I'm down to give it to Rack Attack, Bruins Player of the Week.
Yeah, we're going to give Bruins Player of the Week, sure. Yeah.
All right. I think it's, I mean, he's said a lot.
Dude, I don't remember tweeting this shit.
My rich son.
You got some good tweets, Joss. Just saying.
Every once in a while, you do come out with a hyperbang.
Yeah.
You come out with like a sane hyperbang. Like, okay, he's been cooking.
He's up in the labs.
I think it's fair to give Rack Attack.
Yeah, Rack Attack, Bruins Player of the Week.
Rack Attack's fair.
Okay, Rack Attack, you are Brand Player of the Week. Sorry you didn't win. We're all very sorry for you, my poor son.
you won Brand Player of the Week, though.
You won, you won Brand Player of the
You're a winner in our hearts. You're a winner in our hearts. We love you, buddy. All right, thank you guys for another banging episode of Plat Chat. I'm going to go lie down. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you this weekend.
Yeah, poor Johnny. See everybody. Yeah.
Bye.
My poor teeth.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.